pass it. Oh, there we go. All right. Right.
Well, thank you, Tom. Boy, what a great group. This is awesome. It's great to be here with you this morning as you continue on through steps one. Before we get started, I just wanted to say just a little bit of about myself, because you're going to be, of course, as you heard, you're going to be hearing from most, if not all, of the pastors and elders throughout steps one. And I am an elder, and my wife and I joined Grace Chapel back in 2001. In fact, it was right after September 11th. We started early October when they celebrated their 7th anniversary. And my wife and I come from a background. I came from the Salvation Army. I grew up as a child. So when you see the people of the Salvation Army out on the street with the brass band, I was one that was holding an instrument and playing in the brass band growing up. And my wife was is the daughter of a Methodist minister. So I was from the Pacific Northwest, and so I guess a Yankee, and I came down and got married to a Southern Belle. My wife was born and raised in Alabama, and we have twin daughters that are now 16 years old. They were just a year old when we first came to the church, and I remember coming the very first day we were meeting in the school at Hillsboro School, and we had our daughters, and we were holding them tight, and walked into the back of the service and knew from the very first Sunday that God had brought us to Grace Chapel to minister. And it's been awesome ever since. And so it's my privilege to be serving as an elder of Grace Chapel. And I think I've been serving for about 10 or 11 years. I don't really remember. But it's been an awesome and a privilege, and look forward to working alongside you as we do kingdom work. Do you want me to jump in here and then, or you go ahead and introduce yourself?
You okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Good morning. Craig and I love each other. We have a good time bouncing off back and forth from each other. As Tom said so eloquently, I'm Ron Gonser, one of the pastoral care pastors here at Grace Chapel. Have I visited anybody here in the hospital, at home? Good. Oh, that's good. Good, good, good. Glad you haven't been there. For me to come see you there, I got to see you here first. I born and raised in Southern California. Had a quick experience tour of Vietnam in the Army for a while. And proud to be an Army veteran. And then came back home and started to work in California and married, have two kids, 7 grandchildren. Let's see, what else? God in 1997 said, I want you to move to Nashville. I was in leadership at a church, and God said, go to Nashville. I've got to tell you, I couldn't pick Nashville out on a map if you'd asked me. I thought, really? Nashville? Do they have a beach? I've got a surfboard. Is there a beach? I still haven't found it, by the way. I'm still looking. And my surfboard still sits in my office. But it was clear for my wife and I that God said, I want you to go. And didn't know why. Didn't know what we were going to do. And by his divine appointments, we picked up, packed up, moved out here in 97. Were involved in another church in leadership for a while. And then in 2005, 2005, God said, I want you to unplug from here, and I have another spot for you to go to now. And so he moved us here to Grace Chapel and didn't know anybody here. And we came the first Sunday, and just like Craig said, you know when you're home. You know when you come into a church whether you're home. Now, when we first got here looking for a church, we had gone to a few and walked out, and we knew this isn't where God had us. And when we found the one that he wanted us to be in, we knew that was it. Well, it was the same with here. As soon as we came in here, we walked outside, And I said, what do you think, honey? And she said, I'm home. If you don't feel that, you can pick me up here every Sunday, and I'll be here in this parking lot. And I said, no, thank you, Lord. I feel the same way. And so in 2005, we began to attend here, got into leadership through just ushering, baby ministry. I love baby ministry. Guys, I recommend the baby ministry. It's wonderful because you get to play with the babies and all that, and then when they mess, you hand them off to the ladies. Yeah, you're not allowed to touch them, so they do all of that. So it's a great time. You get all the fun with them. And so I enjoyed that. And then head usher and different things, lead a life group, have been leading a life group for years. And if you're not in a life group and you don't know what a life group is, come talk to me and see me. But life groups are the fingers of the church where the body begins to minister outside of a Sunday here. And it's so important to be part of a life group. I can't tell you how important that is. That is the life source, because if somebody's sick, if somebody needs something, there's an accident and you need help right away, it's going to be very difficult to get a hold of Pastor Steve. You'll get a hold of myself or Rick because we're pastoral care. We're on the emergency line. But I'll tell you right now, your life group will be around you. They will surround you. They will be there for you. They'll pray for you. They'll bring you meals. They'll watch kids for you. They'll do everything. So it's important. Life groups are so important. And then in 2012, Steve asked me to come on board as I was an elder between 2005 and 2012, and still am an elder. But Steve asked me to come on board as a pastor for pastoral care. And so there's two of us for approximately 6,000 people. That's a lot of hospital visits, a lot of home visits, a lot of weddings, a lot of celebration of life services. But Pastor Rick and I love it. And if you're operating out of your calling, it's a joy. If you're operating out of something that God didn't call you in, you know right away that that's not what it's supposed to be. So glad to be here this morning with you. Sundays I'm down in the chapel. Steve has me down there. I facilitate and pastor the chapel on Sundays. The chapel is right down this hallway. If you have anybody been to the chapel? Wow, that's great. It's not an overflow. I want to say that again. It's not an overflow. It's just another venue that we have that help people. They might not like the big crowd. It might be too loud for them. Down there, it's a larger room. It's not as loud. It's a little more laid back and comfortable. Yes, we have a live worship team. We have live prayer. We watch the service on HD screen, live from the sanctuary. But it's if you have kids and they're disruptive down there, it's hard to get up and walk out. You know, you just don't want to do that down here. You can walk around with your kids. It's not real disruptive at all. Anyway, invite you down to the chapel sometime to come down and visit. But we're going to talk about steps now, so I'm going to let Craig jump into the first part.
Very good. So I'm sure you've already turned to God's love. Is that page 4? If you have not yet, page 4. And that's where we are going to continue on. And just to give you a little background, how we've laid out God's love as we talk about it, we use as a background 2 Samuel chapter 9, the entire chapter. And it's about the story of Mephibosheth. How many have heard of the story of Mephibosheth? Okay, it's not one that's really well known, but it's an amazing story of King David loving Mephibosheth. It's like God's love for us. Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan. Jonathan, as you remember, was really good friends. In fact, kindred friends with David. They were like brothers. In fact, they were more than brothers. They were really close. But Jonathan had to go with his father, and his father, of course, King Saul, hated David and wanted him killed. And then finally, when King Saul and Jonathan were killed on the battlefield, then King David became king over Israel. And at a given point, David had made a covenant with Jonathan, saying that he would take care of any of Jonathan's family had Jonathan died and David became king. And in those days, if you became king, the others that have become king, you could destroy their entire family so that there's no chance that their inheritance or their heirs will take over the kingdom. But that wasn't the way it was with King David. He honored that by, he said, is there anybody left in Jonathan's house so that I can honor my friend Jonathan through them? And Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, and he was actually in hiding. And they pulled him out. They found him. He thought he was going to be killed. But instead, if you read the story, he was brought to eat at the king's table, and he was treated like a son. And everything was restored to him that was taken away, his land, his cattle. In fact, King David made sure, because he was crippled, that he was taken care of. It is a beautiful story of God's love for us, because we are separated from God. But through Jesus, we have been reconciled to God. Mm-hmm. He's not out to kill us. He's out to restore us because of his love. So that's and we're not going to read that, but I just wanted to give you that background. Mm-hmm. And the first point is that God's love, it seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. Just like King David wanted to demonstrate his love of Jonathan to find any in his house, God wants to demonstrate to everybody his love. And here at Grace Chapel, that is really the focal point of all of our ministries, so that people know that God's love through his body, through his church, wants to love everyone, every single one, those who are in rebellion towards God, as well as those who are in fellowship. God intends to demonstrate. That's his heart, to demonstrate his love to everyone. And so all the ministries that you see in Grace Chapel, it really, it encompasses that thought that we want to make sure that everybody knows that God wants to love them, and he wants to bring the restoration. He seeks. He literally goes and seeks those to show his love to. And as bodies of Christ, and in this case as members of Grace Chapel, that's what we encourage all of us to do. To do the different ministries that God has called us to show the love of Christ and the love of God to all.
Mm-hmm. another one of the characteristics, your number two there on that page, it saves the lame, crippled, dropped, and fleeing. God saves us. His love is what saves us. I don't know if you've run from God. When I came home from Vietnam, all I wanted to do at that point in time was I didn't even want to work. I just wanted to surf and enjoy life in the sun and all of that. But God was chasing me. I grew up Lutheran, really didn't have a relationship with God at all. God's love chased me down, and I was on a beach. He had to find me on a beach. And I don't know how many of you know about the 70s with Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa with Chuck Smith. A van came by and asked if we wanted to go to a concert that night. And of course, hey, concert, I'm in. I'm good. And we'll take you down. We'll bring you back. Okay, great. Got down there, and little did I know the concert was in a tent, big white tent. And it was a Christian concert, love song, Mustard Seed Faith down there. Never forget it. And the next thing I knew, I'm on my knees at the altar when the call was made and crying out, God, I need you. I need you. So God reached out to me, the lame, the crippled, and saved me. And he'll save anyone that will hear his word and respond. But he will save us. And that's what his love does. And that's what his love did for me.
Amen. And point three, God's love reaches the barren places. And in the story of Mephibosheth, he was actually living in a place called Lo-Debar, which literally means no pasture. It was a place of barrenness. And one of the things that we need to understand, that even though some people may look on the outside like they're enjoying life and all of that, if we're out of fellowship with God, we're living in a barren place. We're living in a place where we're not intended to live. God created us, and God, through his loving laws, all of those things are meant for our good, right? We have to understand that as believers. And when we're in rebellion towards God, we're living in that place of Lodabar, of barrenness. And it's so important to understand that God reaches to those barren places. He wants to bring restoration. And one of the ministries that we have here at Grace Chapel, it's called Room at the Inn. I don't know if you've all heard of Room at the Inn. From like November into March, I think, every Tuesday, we have a bus that goes into downtown Nashville to where the homeless are. We bring homeless men, and we take them off the street, bring them here, give them a hot meal, and they're allowed to shower. They're allowed to spend the night in a comfortable bed, and so we take care of them. And then the next day, we take them back. But the whole point is reaching into the barren places of, in this case, the homeless, where they're living in a barren place, and it could change lives.
Yeah.
You know, that is the love of God reaching into the barren places to try to bring us back to where we're in fellowship with Him, mm-hmm. where we can thrive, where God intended us to be so that we can thrive.
Amen. Number four, God's love removes fear. Jeremiah 29:11 there says, God knows the plans He has towards you. They're plans of peace, not evil. They give you a future and a hope. There's no fear in love, 1 John says, because perfect love casts out all fear. It's interesting when I'm doing counseling one-on-one with some people, the fear that has gripped them about tomorrow. What is tomorrow going to look like? Now we have a new president. What's that going to look like? Are we going to survive? Is this person going to be able to lead us? The key to all this is it's not at this level that we need to look. The scripture says, set our mind on things above, not on this earth. God is love. God is taking care of you. How many of you have children? Okay, most everybody. All right. What you would do for your children, God does for you. Protect you, keep you safe, and that's what God does for us. We don't have to fear what's going to happen tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed tomorrow. So I tell people, why are you're losing the joy of today because you're thinking about tomorrow? Don't lose that joy. God wants to remove all fear from you. Because there is no fear in God, except for rejecting His love. That's the only fear that you can have if you reject Him. So I want to say to all of us, there's no reason to fear. God's love cares for us. He knows what tomorrow holds. He'll watch for you. He says He provides for us. Let Him do all of that and not worry about it. Let Him fill you with His love and care for you the way a father cares for his child.
Amen. Number five, God's love produces restoration. Mm. That is so important because like what we spoke about earlier, when we're out of fellowship with God and we're living in the barren places, a lot of the things that can be stripped from our lives, but God wants to bring total and complete restoration. His desire for each of us is to live that fulfilled life, to be able to live the way He intends for us to live, and that's to flourish, right? And so when we are when things in life have happened that seem like we've been robbed of so many different things. It's like the years where the locusts have eaten everything. You know, back in the days where locusts have just demolished a crop that the farmer was counting on, God would restore that. Mm. God would bring restoration. And we have a ministry called Celebrate Recovery that deals with the broken, that... Where we have addictions of all kinds, and that's part of when Satan uses those kinds of things, addictions of all sort, mm-hmm. right? That is bondage. Okay, he binds us, and we have those strongholds. God wants to demolish those strongholds. He wants to destroy them, but he wants the body to come and help those who have those strongholds. And that ministry, Celebrate Recovery, is an example of that, where you have believers who have gone through those very things that help bring restoration to remove the strongholds so that you can live the life again that God intended for you to live. Mm-hmm. God wants those. Now, sometimes those strongholds can be difficult and take a long time to remove, but God will. He's faithful. He's faithful. That's one of the things, as a church, we want to see everyone be completely free of those strongholds so that we are all living as productive lives in the kingdom, but also as flourishing and just enjoying that fulfilled life that God intended for us to live.
Mm. Number six, it brings secure adoption. Now, I'm sure everybody here knows what adoption is. When someone adopts somebody, they come into their family and become part of their family. Many times, their last name changes to become part of the family. We are adopted into the family of God. Here at Grace Chapel, if this is your place and you want to become a member here, and after you're finished with your steps classes and all that, you said, this is where I want to be, this is where God's calling me to be, you are adopted into this family. And you are part of this family. And God adopts us through His love into Him. The scriptures they're giving us, it says, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. No one can snatch you from my hand. He who began a good work will complete it. God will do that for us if we'll listen to Him. And so when you get adopted into the family, you become part of the family, and then you become nourished by that family and loved by that family, and as if you were originally born into that family. Well, into the kingdom of God, you're born into it, and you're part as God being your heavenly Father. And so we need to know that we are adopted in, you're part of it. I use sometimes in this class the picture of a jigsaw puzzle. Anybody ever do a big jigsaw puzzle on a card table? Okay, a lot of people, I'm old, so it's way gone now. But it used to be you'd get these big jigsaw puzzles and you'd put a card table out. Card table's got four legs and it goes like a card table out and played cards on it sometimes, and you'd put this puzzle, you'd start the puzzle, you'd start with a corner piece and you'd start doing it. My mom used to do that all the time and she loved it, and then I would sneak in the room, take a piece, she could never finish the puzzle, she'd be looking for the piece. Yes, I've had to repent of that many times. But everybody fits jointly in that puzzle, and everybody snaps in where they belong. So as you're adopted into this family, we find out that we're part of it, and we snap into that big picture. And when it's complete, it's a beautiful picture. And that's what we want here from everybody that wants to call Grace Chapel their home. We want you to become part of that big jigsaw puzzle that presents a beautiful picture to the community, to God, to everybody around. As they see it, they see God's love through us.
Amen. I have got to tell a story about a jigsaw puzzle. Our family put together a 3,000-piece puzzle last Christmas. And my daughter first got it out because she was really into puzzles. And I bought this so that we could put it together as a family.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, she started putting it together. That's right. That's exactly right. She started putting it together and the floor said, no, can't do that. So we spent probably a month putting this puzzle together over Christmas and then into later January. We got to the end. We were missing one piece.
I didn't come over.
One piece. I said, Ron, did you come over? Yeah. So we kept the puzzle out literally for 2 or 3 months, maybe longer, looking for that. We tore that room upside down. We could not find that piece.
Did you put it together?
No, we didn't. We took the puzzle, finally put it back in the box. We put it back in the box. We were thinking about... We were thinking about doing that, but because it was such a big effort, it was the biggest puzzle we'd ever put together. This Christmas, we were putting up the ornaments on the tree, and Barbara was going through the boxes. All of a sudden, what's this? There was the piece. It fell into an ornament box. So anyway, we were tempted to pull the puzzle out, but we thought, no. One day, we will put that puzzle, and we'll have Ron over. We'll trust him to help us with that.
Ceremony when you had it pulled up and then you just all stay together while you put that last piece.
That's absolutely right. Anyway, so also number seven, God's love covers imperfection and lameness. And this is so important. This make don't overlook this, because God's love, when God demonstrates his love to us, when God pours out his love as we've been talking about, what he expects of his children is to turn around and share love. Let that love be like a conduit through us to others. That's what God intends, and that's what God intends through ministry, through all the things he's called us to. He's called every single one of us to a ministry, to a mission, to your own mission field, whether it's hopefully partnering here with Grace Chapel or wherever, but it's every part of our lives is a mission field. Many think, I can't do it. I don't have the capability. God has a strong calling on your life. I can't do it. God will give you what you need. He will cover over your imperfection. You know, because the scripture says, through our weakness, he is strong, right? So, and there's a there's an amazing story of Corrie Ten Boom. I've got to bring Corrie Ten Boom up in here. I love her story. But after all the things she went through, where Corrie Ten Boom was a woman whose family was in Amsterdam, and they protected the Jewish people from the Nazis after the Nazis had invaded the Netherlands, and they were looking for Jews and any Jew to take to their extermination camps, and they were protecting them, and they had, I don't know, like probably several thousand that they saved of Jewish people that they're able to get out of Europe through that kind of like underground railroad that they were part of. Well, they got found out by a friend and were taken themselves to these camps, these Nazi internment camps. Labor camps, and her sister, Betsy, godly woman, actually died in the camp. And Corrie went through all of this. And then afterwards, God told her to go and preach and tell people of God's amazing love, that even in the deepest, worst places, God's love shines. Well, shortly after, probably just several years after World War II, God called her back to Germany. She didn't want to go, but God called her back. And she was speaking in a church, And she talked about forgiveness in her message to the people. At the end, people would come up, and then there was a man that she recognized. He was a guard at Ravensbrück, where she was. And she was like, Lord, I know the atrocities that this man did, how he treated us. I can't love him. And as the man came up, he said, Fräulein, thank you for your message and on forgiveness. And he reached out his hand. And she thought, I can't do it. And she prayed. And then she lifted up her hand and she said, an overwhelming sense of the Holy Spirit came. And as she took that man's hand, she said she had a love for that man that she could not explain. And she said, even though in her heart she couldn't forgive him, the power of the Holy Spirit overcame that weakness of hers to be able to love that man, in spite of the things that he had done. But it was only the power of the Holy Spirit. And he does that for all of us.
Yes.
So we have no excuse. We can't say, I'm inadequate. If God calls us to something, we need to step into that calling, knowing he's got it, right? He's going to take care of us. He's going to give us what we need.
Amen. All right. Foundations in Unity. Number one says we're all equal in the kingdom of God. Can you say equal?
Equal.
We're all equal. Sin is sin. Not one sin is worse than another sin. In God's eyes, sin is sin. And so we're all equal in God's eyes, and his love reaches out to us, and it brings us all together in unity as we lay down our prejudices and everything else that comes from the flesh and from the world. If we lay that down and see people through God's eyes, then we find out that we're all equal. We're all the same to God. And we're all the same children Now, we all have different callings. We're not all elders or pastors, but it doesn't make any difference to God. The difference is if you respond to your calling that God wants you to be. And there's people in this room that could end up being something that you don't even think you're going to be in God's kingdom. But leave it open to what God wants to do with you. Don't close the door to anything, because we're all equal. Not one, you know, Pastor Steve is no better in God's eyes than I am, or Craig is, or you are. It's just more is required of Steve, because he said, yes, use me, and God has him in a place, and more is required. To whom much is given, much is required. So be careful what you ask for. That's one thing. But we're all equal in God's eyes. So remember that. Look around to the people next to you. We're all equal. Okay?
Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen. Number two, we are all given authority in Christ. Just as Ron said that we're all called to do all these different things, God gives us spiritual authority to be able to step out into what He's called us to. When we have accepted Christ and we believe and we become new creations, right? The old is gone, the new has come. We are given a mantle of authority. We are God's sons and daughters. And He calls us to go out and to do the work. I mean, Jesus said, look at the fields. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest field. Mm-hmm. He's sending Ron and I and you out into the harvest field. And that's just not going to Africa on a mission trip or whatever. That is in our own backyard, in our daily life. Mm-hmm. We are ambassadors. That should change our whole perspective. But He's given us that authority through Christ Jesus to be able to go out and do what He's called us to do.
Amen. Amen. Number three, the glue for unity is remembering what Jesus did for us. That is the glue, remembering what Jesus did for us. Remember, it says down here in one of your bullet points, remember to never treat others as if they do not belong, but welcome them to the family of God. People always say to us, why do we stand up and greet one another? I don't like that. I don't like it. You never know who's next to you. And that little, hey, glad you're here. What's your name? I, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. Glad you're here today. Your first time. Great. People want to know they're wanted, and they want to know that you care. And so remember, the glue is Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be Jesus, we need to show that love and that care. Amen?
Yeah. Very good. Number four, unity is a reality we already have in Christ, not something that we strive for. So when we are part of the family of God, when we have come into the family of God, unity is natural. That is what we already have. We're given that. What happens is external things, and Satan does this all the time, tries to bring walls of separation. Mm-hmm. Relationship is so important in the kingdom of God. And for us to have that relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to keep that relationship, we need to understand how important that is. And in the ministries of Grace Chapel, that's something, again, that we strive for, to be able to have that relationship, to create those, to make sure those relationships are not hindered or broken. You know, if that is, that's where we need to go on our knees and say, Lord, what is it? What's causing this wall of separation that is bringing something between me and my dear brother or my dear sister? So that we can make sure that that's taken down, so that it restores that unity. Unity is precious. Mm. It is so important in the kingdom of God. It's so important to God.
Amen. Number five says we all have access to the Father in the kingdom. The bullet points again, remember that we're all citizens of the kingdom, all supernaturally fit together with our diversity. I like the last one. It says, what might we do or accomplish if we really work together and put aside our differences? Mm-hmm. Working together. Remember the Tower of Babel. They all work together, the scripture says. And God finally says, I'm going to have to confuse their language and stop this. They're going to accomplish what they're going to do, trying to reach us up here in heaven. So we can work together and we can move and we can see people saved, we can see people reached, we can see people touched, healed, if we'll be together as a body. If this is where God wants you, we ask you to assimilate into the body and be here and find your place, find your part, and become part of a living organism here at Grace Chapel. If it's not, that's okay. For a lot of people that come in, this isn't where they feel like this isn't where I'm supposed to be. That's all right. I would bless them and say, go find where Christ wants you. But if this is it, become part of it, and let's work together so we can accomplish the great works that God wants to do.
Amen. Number six, there is a difference between kingdom authority and worldly position. Now, I think we all kind of understand that, but it is so important to understand. In the world, we're all trying to show what we can do and try to get up to the top, right? We're always trying to achieve more, and sometimes that means those who are in competition with us, we've got to try to outdo them or even undermine them or what have you to get to a higher position. Yeah. That's the way of the world. The way of the kingdom authority that God gives us, if we understand who we are in Christ, what we want is everybody else to achieve what God has for them. We want to see everyone succeed. We're not trying to go up, climb up this ladder. We're not trying to do that. Mm-hmm. We're trying to fulfill the authority God has in us, but we want to make sure that that we're all in unity and that we make sure that everybody is able to do what God has called them to do.
Amen. And then number seven, division, jealousy, selfishness undermine corporate unity. If we're not all pushing the rock together and some are trying to push it this way or this way, it's not going to get to the point that it needs to be. We need to be together. There doesn't need to be division in the house of God. There doesn't need to be jealousy. We're all under God's umbrella, and He wants us to be in unit, be a unit together. When I was in the service, I walked with a unit. You had to be together, and you had to trust those that were around you that they had your back and were taking care of things. You need to walk together here at Grace Chapel together. So there's no jealousy, no division, no selfishness. Let's find our place in the puzzle, and then let's be the best jigsaw puzzle piece we can be.
Wow. Okay, we're just going to say real fast before we give it over to Tom. Number eight, there is unity when we walk in the kingdom authority. That's number eight. There is unity when we walk in kingdom authority. And number nine, walking in unity always brings a blessing.